Good morning, everyone. It is April 4th, 2023. It is 10:03 a.m. We do have a quorum present. Note that Commissioner Gilman is not here today. We're going to go ahead and call this meeting to order. If you can please all join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving on to item number three on today's agenda, discussion for possible action, consideration of possible approval of the agenda for April 4th, 2023. Vice Chairman Mitchell, any questions or comments?
I don't, thank you.
County Manager Osborne, are there any changes to the agenda?
There is, Mr. Chairman. We ask that we remove item 19, that's a fire district item, and that we continue number 23 to the April 18, 2023 meeting here at the courthouse and on Zoom.
All right. Noted changes. How about public comment today? Is there any public comment regarding today's agenda? As it's on Zoom, you can use the raise your hand feature, the chat feature. If you're calling in, use star six to unmute yourself. Not seeing any public comment, Vice Chairman Mitchell, care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, just to confirm, County Manager, that second item was 23.
Correct. Right, it's a licensing agreement.
Okay. So I move to approve today's agenda with the two noted changes of removing item 19 from the Fire Protection District Board agenda and continuing item 23 to our next regularly scheduled meeting.
All right. There's a motion. I'll second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to item number four, this discussion for possible action, consideration of possible approval of the minutes for February 7th, 2023 meeting. Vice Chairman Mitchell, any questions or comments?
I have no questions or comments.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding the minutes for February 7th, 2023? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve the minutes from our February 7th, 2023 meeting as presented.
All right, I'll second that motion. So there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Item number five, discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of the February 21st, 2023 meeting. Vice Chairman Mitchell, any questions or comments?
No, thank you.
How about any public comment regarding the minutes for February 21, 2023? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve the minutes from our February 21st, 2023 meeting as presented.
All right, there's a motion. I'll second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to item number six is today's consent agenda. Vice Chairman Mitchell, any questions or comments about the consent agenda?
I have no questions or comments.
All right, how about public comment on today's consent agenda? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve today's consent agenda as presented.
All right. There's a motion. I'll second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. On to item number seven is public comment. Public comment will be allowed at the beginning and end of each meeting. These comments should be limited to matters not on today's calendar agenda. Public comment will be allowed after each item on the agenda, and those comments should be limited to the agendized topic today. Not seeing any public comment. We are going to move right along to item number eight, discussion only. No action, no public comment will be taken. These are committee and staff reports. As we do, we are going to start off with the Sheriff's Office. Sheriff Cohen?
Nothing in this.
Thank you. Moving right along to the fire district, Chief Lonkar.
Just one quick update here, Jeremy Lonkar for the record. We'll be posting something here pretty soon for a winter damage cleanup that's hopefully going to occur in May. We're watching the weather. Doesn't have enough time to be able to pick up all those busted limbs. whatever brush they want removed from their house, trees that may have come over during this winter storm. And we have multiple options, either haul it off or broadcast chip it on their property. We'll get that out to social media outlets here fairly soon. Once we can just see the weather trends, make sure people, again, have enough time to get out there and do it. But we'll get that posted. And as well, we've submitted for a couple of grants to help all support that by getting more U-Call WeHaul trailers to provide more services, as well as some trailers to help us in our fire suppression efforts for WUI. They'd be mounted and be portable water sources we can move around. So we're keeping our fingers crossed on those. And I'll take any questions.
Thank you, Chief. Anything for the Chief?
No, thank you.
All right. Appreciate the update.
Thank you.
Moving on to Public Works. Public Works Director, Jason Wersbicki.
Morning, Chairman, Commissioners. I don't have anything new to report at this time. I have an agenda item for the Highway Commission a little later.
All right. Thank you, Jason. Projects Coordinator, Mike Northern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. I have nothing to report today. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Communications, Becky Parsons.
Good morning, Becky Parsons. Nothing to report.
All right. Thank you, Becky. Business Development Director, Laura Mather. Yes. Thank you. How about Community Relations or Grants?
Good morning.
Morning.
Honey Menifee Community Relations. A couple of things. Last Friday, I attended a WNDD workshop, and that was to review the annual economic development strategy that we have projects listed with. And it's called the SEDS, but that is important that we keep our projects on the list, because that it enables us to be eligible for grants through the EDA, the Economic Development Authority, I believe. I'm not good on my acronyms today, but so that went well. They'll be reaching out. That was like all the representatives from Northern Nevada got together and just put in their opinions and ideas for how to be more effective with the SEDS instead of just having to update every year and kind of not going anywhere with it. So this was the first time since I've been a part of WNDD that there's some progress moving forward to kind of make sense with why we all have to put all this time in every year for the SEDS. So they'll be reaching out to us individually to as community groups or counties to see what projects we may want to keep on the list or to change. And then in another 2 years, the whole SEDS will be completely redone, and we would put completely new projects on that list. And hopefully some of the things that are already on that list, we can start crossing off and move out of that priority. Also, with the current the CPF grants that we have going, the earmarked grants, we are moving forward with the fire station and the fairgrounds with the preliminary architectural reports, and also with the environmental reports. And we are also moving forward with the Lockwood Senior Center. The preliminary design phase is really rolling through quickly now that we got them going back. And also the environmental review portion will begin shortly. We just need to bring that item to the commission for approval, and that will happen on the April 18th meeting. And the community project grants, the Virginia City Highlands Park Benches project, that was part of their community project grant, that is completed. So Highlands Electric installed the benches last Friday, actually, a storm. So that project is done. For Virginia City, the Clampers, they have one more plaque for the Big Bonanza to be make a monument for and then have placed. And we're just waiting for the weather to kind of be accommodating for that. And then for the Lockwood Community Grant Project, we're also just waiting for the weather. They have to be able to put down the whatever chemicals they're going to use for the weed, noxious weed abatement. That will happen as soon as the weather allows and permits for them to get in there and work. They'll go in and clean out all the vegetation that needs to come out, and then they'll also put down the chemical abatement for that. So at the moment, that's the end of my report.
Thank you very much, Vice Chairman Mitchell.
Good, thank you.
I just want to say the park benches look great.
Good.
Got some photos from somebody out there, and they're Fantastic. So
good.
Thank you.
I hope they get used.
Oh, I'm sure they will. Appreciate it. Up next, emergency management, Mike Bullion. Do you with us?
Is this one?
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
There he is.
Barely, Mike.
Okay, Mike Bullion, emergency management. My biggest project as of late has been property damage assessment operation combined with Honey and Jason. We met up with FEMA and the state emergency management and conducted assessments at Six Mile Canyon Road, Taylor Street, Lowestown, Cartwright Road, and Mark Twain Culverts to determine if we meet the minimum standard or the minimum amount of money for our county to receive benefits, which is $18,000 and change. We did. The FEMA engineer was sure that we would also be able to get involved with the presidential declaration, which would require the state of Nevada to receive or get $5,400,000 worth of damage, qualify for that. So we are looking good for that. It should give us a 75% return on what we pay to repair our roadways. And also I met with the state Department of Emergency Management and requested a water gauge be placed at the Long Valley Creek in Lockwood. This would be in place by the United States Geographical Survey and maintained by them. It should be at no cost to us. That's the end of my report.
Thank you, Mike. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything for Mike?
No, thank you.
All right. How about the VCTC? Todd on here?
I'm here.
Oh, in person. Sorry.
ACDC, new report this time.
Thanks, Todd. Controller.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer. How about the assessor's office?
Good morning. This is Janice Eden. I want to let everyone know that owner occupancy cards will be going out probably sometime next week. I do want to let everyone know that it is imperative this year to turn in your owner occupancy cards. As everyone knows, if they have seen their assessment notice, values went up a lot this year. So make sure you get in your owner occupancy cards. It's also a hot topic in legislature. This year, rolling. So if you do not turn in your owner occupancy card, you will be at the 8% cap. So it's make sure we get this in. You're going to be hearing me repeat this at every commission meeting from now, probably through June, just to try to get the word out. Also, we have been working, again, as you all well know, we've been working cleaning up a lot of uncollectible taxes. We have now moved on to trying to bring our mobile home accounts for those that are delinquent current. We have sent a lot of letters out and we are working with the treasurer's office. We're setting up payment plans for a lot of these past due accounts. A lot of really good response. Fingers crossed that it works in everyone's advantage and we get these taxes paid and we don't have to move forward to do any seizures, because that's the last thing we ever want to do is to take someone's home away from them. Other than that, with legislature, that's it for my office.
Thank you very much, Jenna. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything for her?
No, thank you.
All right, thank you. Moving right on to the planning department, Kathy Canfield.
Good morning, it's Kathy Campbell for the records. I have a couple things. I just wanted to let you know, we did have our kickoff meeting for the Long Valley Creek flood hazard mitigation plan this last week in Lockwood. We had a really good turnout. This is the start of the meeting or the start of the plan, and we expect it to be completed in about 6 months. When we have that, when we're close to completing it, we'll have another community meeting to share with them everything that went into the plan. For people that were not available to attend, the presentation itself is on our website under the planning department. let's see, this last week, we also had a meeting with EPA on their five-year review of the Mercury Superfund site. So we had a really good discussion with EPA representatives, Army Corps of Engineer representatives, and the state, and kind of talked through some of the issues that we've been having, just with funding issues and just competing agencies. So they were interested in hearing some of that, and I think we've got some paths forward to try to avoid some of that in the future. So we'll be following up with them as things come up. This last week also, we had another meeting with FEMA and the state regarding our five-year community assistance visits, regarding our flood permitting, and we passed, and that was all felt great, wonderful, passed. And then this morning I get a notice that we now start our community rating system audit. So that's like one thing's done, another one just starts. So we'll be working on that. That'll be in the fall. So went from the high to the low. But we also met with Friday with NV Energy on the Green Links West project. There's an environmental document that's being developed that we believe will be released in late May or early June regarding the power lines that are coming from Southern Nevada up here to Northern Nevada. We've asked them to do a presentation to the board during that public 90-day public period, which they've agreed to. So that'll probably be May, June, July, August, sometime this summer. And the public draft EIS for that will be released, they said, late May or beginning of June. So we'll definitely advertise that that's out there available for people to look at. And then one fun thing we had this last week was we had a class from UNR come up to C Street, and they have a drone class, and they were able to use the drones to map the Fireman's Museum. They worked with Joe Curtis and the Sheriff's Office, and they had about 20 students that were up here, and they're learning how to use the drones, and then they'll do some 3D mapping of the actual museum. So they'll be sharing that with us, and I'll share that when I actually get a copy. They said they would send that to me, but appreciate the help of the Sheriff's Office and the fire station or Fireman's Museum, Joe. Helping with that. They were all excited. There were a lot of the students that had never even been up to Virginia City before. So that was kind of fun for them. So that's all I have for right now.
Thank you, Kathy. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything for Kathy?
Good, thank you.
All right, appreciate the update. Moving on to the recorder's office.
All right, good morning. Drew McPherson, County Recorder. Just an update regarding our project for our move to the cloud. We have begun testing and are aiming for full implementation on April 17th. Due to this changeover, we'll have an electronic recording blackout date on April 14th. We're notifying title companies and common e-recording submitters. We'll also be accepting mailed and hand-delivered documents during that time. So we'll still be accepting recordings, just not electronically. And thank you again to the board and IT and Jennifer for helping make this project come to life. So that's it.
Wonderful. Thank you for the update. You have anything for Drew?
Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it. Moving right along to the IT department.
Good morning, commissioners. Nothing today. Thank you.
Thank you, James. How about human resources?
Good morning. HR has nothing to report today. Thank you.
Thanks, Mitzi. How about community development? Pete Renaud.
Good morning, commissioners. Real quick, that time of the year, we're going to start hitting the boardwalk for repairs to all the merchants once the weather starts picking up and get a little bit warmer. That's all I got for today.
All right, thank you, Pete. How about the Story County Senior Center?
Good morning, nothing new to report today.
All right, Stacy, please. Is this to the community development?
This is to the senior center. Yes, yeah. Honey Menifee Community Relations. I didn't want to step on Stacy's toes, but we didn't coordinate who was going to mention this item. So today at 11 at the Virginia City Senior Center, the Governor's Office of Science and Innovative Technology is going to hold a meet and greet for our residents. And that's, so there's a digital equity program that is happening through the state. And this is a chance for the residents to be able to speak with the governor's office and just express the needs that they have individually for broadband, whether it be the connectivity, their equipment, or the training they need to maybe use their equipment. So there will also be a survey that they will have that residents can take and, you know, just get some of their questions answered and maybe just look forward to the future of what could happen with broadband. And that is from 11 to 1 at the Virginia City Senior Center. Now, then there's a meet and greet in the Highlands from 2:30 to 4:30. And not the Highlands, excuse me, Lockwood, at the Lockwood Senior Center. And that is for the residents there as well to just be able to meet and have their needs and questions answered. So
wonderful.
That is it.
Thank you, honey. Do we have Eric Sean with us from our community chest? I don't think so. All right. How about the Story County Justice Court? I see the judges with us today. I can get back to her. How about the DA's office?
Nothing to report today, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Keith. County Manager's Office.
Nothing today. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
How about the Clerk Treasurer's Office?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jim Hindle, Clerk Treasurer. Just want to let everybody know that delinquency letters will be going out on people who are behind on property taxes. If there's any question that anybody has about the status of their tax payments this year, please contact the office. We'd be happy to bring you up to date. But those will be going out this week.
Wonderful. Thank you. All right. Unless I missed somebody, did I? Raise your hand if I missed you. All right. That concludes our staff reports for today. We're going to get back to our agenda. All right. How about we take a 5-minute recess? We have a public hearing at 10:30. We'll be back here at 10:30.
All right, everybody, we're going to reconvene. 10:31. We are on to, we're going to bypass item number 9. We're going to go to item number 10. To recess to convene as the Story County Board of recess to convene as a Story County Highway Board, bringing us to item number 11, which is the 10:30 public hearing. Public hearing on proposed resolution 23-671 and 23-675 is to 671 proposes the identification of a road commonly known as County Road number 910040, three segments: Yellow Jacket Road, American Flat, segment one, American Flat Lower, segment two, unnamed road, segment three, pursuant to Nevada Revised Statute 403.170 and 405.191. So the public hearing is open. Is there any public comment regarding this item or these roads? You good, Keith?
We're good.
All right, let it be noted that there's no public comment. This public hearing is closed. We're going to move on to item number 12. Yes.
You say what?
I'm sorry.
We do have the public hearing for resolution 23-675 also. So this was the public hearing for two sections of roadway.
Gotcha.
So the second part would be a public hearing for resolution 23-675 proposes the identification of a road identified as unnamed County Road number 910045 pursuant to Nevada Revised Statutes 403.170 and 405.191 as a minor county road.
Sounds good. Thank you. So the second public hearing is now open. Is there any public comment on this public hearing? Not seeing any public comment. Let it be noted that there's no public comment. It's going to bring us to item number 12, which is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible adoption of resolution 23-671, which proposes the identification of a road commonly known as County Road number 910040, three segments: Yellow Jacket Road, also known as American Flat, segment one, American Flat Lower, which is known as segment two, unnamed road, segment three, pursuant to Nevada Revised Statute 403.170 and 405.191 as a minor county road. Kathy?
Thank you. So this is a continuation of our RS-2477 project that we've been working with. The researcher has identified these roads as meeting the criteria for RS-2477. This segment of roadway is in the American Flat area. It starts near the Catholic cemetery that's there and kind of winds its way down to the southwest. This is all just on BLM owned land.
Thank you, Captain. Vice Chairman Mitchell, you have any questions or comments about this item?
I don't have any questions. Thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, care to entertain a motion?
Yeah. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to adopt resolution 23-671, which proposes the identification of a road commonly known as County Road number 910040, three segments: Yellow Jacket Road, American Flat, segment one, American Flat Lower, segment two, and unnamed road, which is segment three, pursuant to Nevada Revised Statutes 403.170 and 405.191. Do I need to continue the whole dealio?
No, you're good. You're good.
All right.
Noted. Thank you. All right. So there's a motion. I'll second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to item number 13, this discussion for possible action, consideration of possible adoption of resolution number 23-675, which proposes the identification of a road identified as unnamed, County Road number 910045, pursuant to Nevada Revised Statute 403.170 and 405.191 as a minor county road. Kathy?
Thank you. So this is a continuation of the piece that you were just part of the previous resolution. This one extends from where that road ends down to the county line. So it's also in the American Flat area and heads south from where this previous one ended.
All right. Thank you, Kathy. Vice Chair, is there any public comment regarding item number 13? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, care to entertain a motion?
Sure. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to adopt resolution 23-675, which proposes the identification of a road identified as unnamed, County Road number 910045, pursuant to Nevada Revised Statutes 403.170 and 405.191 as a minor county road.
All right, there's a motion. I'll second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you, Keith. We're going to go back to item number 9, which is board comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have anything for us today?
Mr. Chairman, I think we're still constituted as the Board of Road Commissioners. Maybe we have just one more item there and then...
My apologies. Then we're out. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Item number 14, this is discussion only. Public report of Public Works Department regarding roads and highways in Story County. I believe Director Ruspicki is going to take this.
Mm-hmm. As you guys know, that we suffered some severe road damage from the weather events, and quite a few of those we won't be able to do permanent fixes until the water stops flowing. Taylor Street remains closed at this point in time. We had one engineer look at it with a soils guy, and that is estimated just over $400,000. We have another engineering firm with their soils guy coming up this afternoon to look at that damage and give us a second option to go on. But that's about all. As we're trying to play catch up, and we will be for several months with all this road and culvert and drainage damage. That's about all I have.
All right. Many thanks, Jason. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions or comments for Jason?
I don't. Thank you, Jason.
All right. Again, appreciate the update. That brings us to item number 15, which is to recess to reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners, which then will bring us to item 9, which is board comments. So now your highway commissioner hat is off, your regular commissioner hat is on. Do you have anything for us today?
No, I have no board comment today. Thank you.
All right. I've been on a great streak. Haven't had any that has passed, but I did just want to point out that I want to thank Public Works and their team for getting out there, clearing roads, dealing with the rain. It has been a mess pretty much all over the county. I know these guys are out there working hard. I know our emergency crews between the fire district and the sheriff's office, they've been out there, dealing with weather related issues as well as their normal emergencies. And I know it's extremely difficult when there's weather out there. And I just want to say thank you to three of those departments for doing what they do. So. That's all I have today. We will number 16. This is discussion only. Brian Mitchell, Director of the Governor's Office of Science and Innovation and Technology, also known as OSIT, is here to present the broadband infrastructure and digital equity planning process taking place throughout the state of Nevada. Honey,
you want to kick us off? Yes, Honey Menifee, Community Relations for the record. Brian Mitchell, who is heading up the OSIT Broadband and Digital Equity team, he's going to be talking about the three phases of broadband infrastructure implementation and the survey tools that have been developed. And just a reminder again, part of his team is already at the Virginia City Senior Center, and they will be there from 11 to 1 to meet with our residents. And then again, from 2:30 to 4:30 at the Lockwood Senior Center. So I will turn it over to Brian.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Good morning, commissioners, members of the public. My name is Brian Mitchell, the director of the Office of Science, Innovation and Technology for the record, and I appreciate you having me here today. And I know you have a lot on your agenda today, so I'm going to be pretty brief. Just wanted to give very quick update on the investments and the other items that the state is making with regard to broadband here in Story County and the many ways that we're partnering with your staff here at the county to improve the broadband situation here in the county. I want to just take a quick moment to thank your staff, particularly Honey Menifee, who's just been absolutely fantastic to work with. We couldn't do what we're doing without local support and coordination, and so that has been really good here in Story County. Really briefly, our mission is that every Nevadan has access to a high-speed internet connection that's affordable, reliable, and scalable. And so there's two components to us being able to meet that goal. The first is that there needs to be better infrastructure, more scalable infrastructure that meet, you know, modern bandwidth needs, you know, both today and then in the future. And so in phase one of our initiative, we've been working with your staff to identify government facilities within Story County or community anchor institutions within Story County that are in need of better connectivity. We've identified over 31 different county facilities that were in need of better broadband, in addition to about half a dozen state facilities. And while it's great to be able to bring broadband to those facilities, you know, thinking big picture about this, ultimately what we're going to be able to do by building facilities that are located throughout the county is the fiber that we build to those facilities will be able to branch off of that in future phases the residential and business community have the opportunity to have better infrastructure. So that is coming down the pike, but wanted to give you just an update that the state, by our latest calculation, we've completed an RFP round and selected a vendor to serve us the entire region's, actually two different vendors to select for this region. And the state will be investing approximately $16 million in infrastructure in Story County to your facilities. And then we'll build on that in future phases for residential connectivity. So appreciate the partnership and you guys working with us to ensure that your county facilities can be a part of the, you know, both better broadband for you, but also part of the bigger picture. Kind of the second half of the of making our goal of universal access to broadband a reality is what Honey mentioned earlier, which is, you know, the idea that if you don't know how to use the internet or you can't afford it, then you're just as unconnected as you would be without any infrastructure. And so we're developing two different plans. One is an infrastructure plan, and then the other is a digital equity plan. You know, that will help us to be able to understand what the folks' needs are for affordability, device access, computer access, and then digital literacy or digital skills. You know, these are both digital skills at the foundational level, like how do I turn my computer on or how do I connect to the Wi-Fi, but also skills that folks will need for future jobs, like how do I write a professional email or how do I use Microsoft Excel, et cetera. You know, skills that maybe especially the younger generation doesn't quite have yet, even though they're very well-versed on posting on social media. So we'll be doing an assessment of the entire state, including Story County, and the contributions of your citizens to that process will then affect or impact how we spend money here. So based on the needs that we understand that Story County has, that's where we'll be able to make investments in infrastructure to, you know, a partnership with the library to teach people how to turn their iPhones on. So more to come on that. We're going, as Honey mentioned, we're doing two events today to kind of get a better understanding of what folks' needs are. And then We also have two different public surveys. One is a general public survey about whether, you know, do folks need the internet, better internet? What is their internet situation look like? Do they need a device, or, you know, do they have trouble with that? And then a second survey that geared more towards nonprofits and community-based organizations, you know, about it's an asset map about what existing programs there are in Story County and how we can either scale those or work with different partners in the future to be able to meet your citizens' needs. So really appreciate the time today. And if there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you, Brian. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions for Brian Mitchell?
No questions, but thanks for being here, Brian. One thing that your staff may hear about, you know, kind of unique to this community from your meeting later today, is that we're kind of just in the winding up, unfortunately, in kind of the winding up phases of a community cable co-op that was a connection, an information connection for a lot of the local residents. And unfortunately, we just, both in terms of equipment and operators, it was just, we don't have people who know how to run it. We don't have replacement parts for everything. And so that has been kind of the way that this community stayed connected to the outside world. But I imagine with that winding down, that's going to exacerbate the need, not only for the infrastructure, but also then for the education piece, so that some of these local folks, seniors particularly, have ways to stay connected out to the broader world. So I just thought I'd mention that because it's kind of a unique, my understanding is the last one of its kind in the nation. And kind of sad to be at the end of that era, but certainly opportunities to replace it with something that's going to serve the citizens well. So.
Thank you for the information.
No questions for you, Brian. It's obviously, we've dealt with each other over the last year or so. Appreciate all the work. Appreciate you coming down, and good luck today.
Thank you.
So thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
There is one question.
Oh, Brian. Yeah.
And it's asking, where do they find the survey? From a public statement.
Thank you for the question. The survey can be found on our website, highspeednv.com. And then we've also worked with your staff to post the survey on the county's social media pages. And so that should be going out hopefully today. So those would be the two places to at least the easiest two places to find it.
That question was posed by Alexia Silberto.
Thank you. Brian, before you go, do you mind letting us know who the two winners of those bids were?
Let me be more precise. We have issued notices of intent to award, uh-huh. which means that we've tentatively selected and are going a negotiation process.
Right.
And so if everything goes well, then there'll be winners. For the Virginia City Highlands, and kind of, you know, the southern part of the county, the winner is Sky Fiber, or I guess Hotspot Broadband, DBA, Sky Fiber.
Yep.
And then for the Lockwood area was a part of the Washoe County region, you know, just because of the geography of your county.
Sure.
And so so that'll be part of the same vendor that Washoe County is serving, which is a company called Vero Networks.
Vero, that's right. Okay. Wonderful. Thank you again, Brian. Appreciate it.
Go. Coming in from the public. Miles Commissioner Koch asked, could Brian speak to what phase two of the High Speed Nevada initiative will look like?
Thanks for the question. So in the next phase, we'll be working with the community. You know, once we've understood what the needs are, both for infrastructure and then digital equity, the state has to submit a plan to our federal funding partner, which is the National Telecommunications and Information Administration, or NTIA. And so in that, we will submit a plan that will detail how we're going to go about spending funding for residential connectivity, as well as a plan for how we're going to go about ensuring that folks have access to a device and the, you know, digital literacy, digital skills training and whatnot. And so, you know, to make a really long story short, the NTIA will approve those plans, and then that will unlock the formula funding that we have available in order to then start to meet those needs. And so there'll be another competitive process for the, you know, both the a company to serve the residential market and then another competitive product, you know, statewide for local community partners like senior centers or libraries or community centers could raise their hand and say, hey, you know, if we had some funding, we would love to be able to offer a class on Saturday mornings for seniors to come and learn how to use their iPhones. And so we would be then be able to fund a staff person, for example, you know, if we determine that that's a need. So that's kind of the next phase of the process.
Wonderful. Thanks. I don't want to let you go just yet because apparently this is a hot topic. All right. I think you are free to go.
Okay. If there are anything that comes up, you guys know where to find me and we're happy to answer more questions, you know, after the fact.
Appreciate it, Brian. Have a great day. All right. Moving on to item number 17. This is discussion only. It's a presentation by the Virginia City Silver Circuits robotics team, including a robotics demonstration and discussion about their curriculum and achievements. Somebody going to notify them that they are on?
I want to see if they're here.
Can we go on the slide? Do they have it?
Haven't seen a robot.
I'm actually a bit shocked.
Stable.
I haven't seen anyone out there.
Yeah. You want to play to the end of the bridge and move it down to the end?
Yeah, just give me 1 second. Well, it seems like they're here.
All right. Well, they thought it was canceled, so we're going to move right along. Okie dokie. Bringing us to item number 18, to recess to convene as the Story County Fire Protection District Board. We just lost the fire chief.
Did somebody text the fire chief?
Yeah. Send a robot to go get him.
Yeah.
You step out. You're good.
We're just gone.
Here he is.
We had the robot come and get you. Yeah, you were gonna. You're up.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. All right. Item number 19, discussion for possible action. Update discussion and provide direction to the fire chief and appropriate fire direct district staff.
19 was continued.
That's why there's an X on there. Yeah. Nice. Item number 20, discussion for possible action. Review and possible approval of the 2023-2024 Story County Fire District tentative budget for submission to the Nevada Department of Taxation. I guess we didn't really need you. Comptroller McCain, you are on.
He's good.
Good morning, Jennifer McCain, Story County Comptroller/Fire District Comptroller, for the record. This is the first of many tentative budget updates. This is actually our tentative budget is due to taxation April 15th. So this is what will be submitted, what you have before you. With that being said, there are a few items we're working with within the fire district budgets, and we're hoping that these will all be finalized in the next few weeks. A couple of those major things are the district is currently in the middle of union negotiations. We are hopeful that these will end agreeably before the final budget is due so we can get any wages and benefit changes into the budget. Another outstanding item is some of the revenue taxation figures. I have questions out to taxation. Didn't quite get answers in time to put that in to this tentative budget. Also not included in here is a health insurance increase for the fire district. With that being said, the general fund for the fire district, the revenues over expenses is approximately $1.2 million. However, due to the things that I just mentioned, we expect this to get quite quickly. The ending fund balance with transfers in and out and contingencies shows a slight increase of $150,000 in their ending fund budget. But again, these are preliminary figures. The revenues for the fire district, we're seeing an increase of approximately 37% at this point in time. The fire district is also applying for a SAFER grant, and the initial figures in this revenue might need to be corrected. As with any grant, if this does not get awarded, the revenues and the expenses that have been budgeted will not be utilized. Major expense changes within the fire general is the salaries and benefits. Approximately 36% without the final CBA calculations. These changes include several new positions. Six are for that SAFER grant previously mentioned, three firefighters and three paramedics, an additional inspector, a part-time admin, and the assistant fire chief. Chief Lonecar can speak to these new positions now or wait till the end, whichever he's more comfortable with.
Would you like him to come up now and talk about the positions now? Or?
I don't have a strong.
Yeah. Why don't you do it now, Chief?
Thank you, Comptroller McCandless. Hi, guys. So, in within these positions, starting just with the three firefighters and three paramedics, again, these to be under SAFER grant funding. That SAFER grant runs for 3 years and is 100% paid. So if we are successful in getting that, that would bring up our line staff by approximately six people, which we're exploring just options right now as far as possibly staffing another fire station, or we can utilize these people to upstaff some of our current stations we have in place now. The additional inspector is going to be as needed. It is one that we're not immediately looking at filling. However, just the growth of the park alone is quite substantial. So it's trying to make sure that we're staying on top of these. So with approval, although we're going to approve it for the full year to cover those expenses, that's one that only as needed. If we're just falling behind, we can pull that trigger, get the new person in. The part-time admin assistant was something we always had, and we increased that to a full-time position. I wanted to keep that part-time on the books because, again, that full-time, when we made that part-time position full-time, they've been committed solely to fire prevention itself, and that's doing permits and plans review fees and so forth. So that, again, is one that I do not look at immediately filling, but as we're just seeing demand increase, I'd rather be ahead of it than behind it. And lastly is the assistant fire chief. I brought this to your attention last year. We just weren't able to find the money to put this position in place. However, as we continue to grow, this position is very vital to the success of our programs and the plans that we have in place. Currently, I'm the only administrator there that is an 8-to-5 guy, so I'm carrying the burden for pretty much the whole district, and having this additional person there is going to greatly help us with just progress and staying on top of things. But I'll answer any questions about the staffing right now.
Appreciate it, Chief. Fire Commissioner Mitchell, do you have any questions for the Chief?
So just to help me understand, the proposed staffing is included in the budget. Is there a tentative component for the SAFER grant as well on the revenue side? Estimated in there as well.
So it will, and the way we've ran it, now I'm going to have Jennifer probably talk more about that, is it kind of comes in a little differently under the revenue side, and it comes in for governmental support staff. So we will need to get those numbers dialed up in there as well to show that. But we don't want to put in so much revenue. And like I said, I don't want to go too far out of my lane in finances, but we have discussed this a little bit, and I'll let her talk about how we want to put it in there, if we want to do the full sum of it or year.
Right. And currently it's budgeted significantly lower than six positions would have. Chief Loncar and I are working on, as he said, dialing that in more. If it comes closer to the final budget where it looks like we are going to get that grant, then we would be putting that money into, at the full award, into the fund.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And obviously there's still some variables with that. The way FEMA does it is it's our actual costs. So it makes that person cost neutral to us. Part of that is the negotiation element we have as well. Until we get things absolutely finalized, I can't really give her a definitive number yet.
Good. Right. Any other questions?
I have some other questions that are not directly related to staffing.
Okay. Right. I'm good with staffing.
Yeah, might as well stay. Okay, then if we move on from staffing, the overall fire district expenses are increasing by the same 36% across the board. We saw some significant increases in service and supplies. Those line items include personal protective equipment, which from my understanding, and again, Chief Loncar can speak more to this, that equipment expires and he's on a rotation system, unfortunately, with inflation and the need to replace these. He doesn't have a choice. The other significant increase is we've established a new line item account called General Fire Equipment. And we have found that there were a lot of things that weren't quite capital assets, but not quite just general operating expenses. So we wanted to create a tools type account, whether they have to go buy or axes or something more significant that doesn't breach the fixed asset mark. That's what will encompass in this line item.
Snowshoes.
Also within the fire district general fund budget, they will receive a transfer from mutual aid in the amount of $250,000. However, the transfer out to capital projects will be $1 million as long as his expenses don't increase too much in the next coming weeks. This will go to capital projects to fund current and future items that they have in their CIP. And that's really all I have for the general fund. The mutual aid fund is a fund that's an in and out for out-of-district fires. Again, they'll be transferring $250,000 to the general to get to the capital projects fund. And now to the capital projects fund, some of the items that they are looking to try to purchase again this year include some consistently rollover items. We have an ambulance that was budgeted in 21-22 and approved. We have a Type 3 wildland engine and a Type 5 engine. Both were approved in the current year's budget, 22-23. And that assistant fire chief vehicle was budgeted for in 22-23. However, without hiring an assistant chief, we didn't need that vehicle. It's unfortunate that these items keep rolling over. It's mainly due to supply and when he can get these items. Right now, I believe he's hoping to have at least a couple of them by November of this year. So we can move forward with that. The current year requests are two air ride systems for two ambulances and an additional Type 3 engine. With these extra expenditures, the budget of capital outlay expenses is $1.4 million. And Chief Loncar can speak to any more specifics on this that you might have. Or I can answer questions as well.
Anything specific?
The expense side looks good to me. I was just curious about a couple of the revenue line items. I noticed what looked like a substantial increase in the SCCRT coming in.
That's one of my questions out to taxation.
Great.
It's substantially higher than what we have seen in the past. And they're looking into that. Unfortunately, they haven't gotten back to me yet. That Understood. Is one of my things on the radar.
Okay. Yeah, I wonder if that's a projection off of Tesla 2 or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I can't answer that at
quite
this
all right.
time.
But all right. And then it looks like we're anticipating a fairly substantial increase in some building permit revenue for the coming year.
Yes. And that's one of the items that we are working with between the fire district and community development, that they're both budgeting for the same projects that are coming about. And they are both looking at some significant projects coming about in the coming year.
Great. Yeah. All right. That's about all I got. Thank you.
Do you have anything else to add?
Nothing to add on that revenue side.
I just want to remind you guys that this is a tentative budget. We'll be coming before you during the next three meetings with any updates and changes. On May 16th is when the final budget will need to be approved so that I can prepare it and get it into taxation by June 1st. As with every other meeting that we have on the budget, I'm open to any questions, any suggestions that anybody has. Please give our office a call and I'm happy to talk to you about it.
Wonderful. Okay. Thank you, Jennifer. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Chief. No other questions, Vice Chairman?
I'm good, thank you.
All right, as am I. Is there any public comment regarding the fire budget? All right, not seeing any. I think we're good.
Can you approve it?
I'm sorry.
Please.
No pressure. On the next item.
Yeah. Fire Commissioner Mitchell, care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve the 2023-2024 Story County Fire Protection District tentative budget for submission to the Nevada Department of Taxation as presented.
There's a motion. I'll second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Moving on to item number 21 is to recess to reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners. Bringing us to item number 22, which is discussion for possible action. Update discussion and provide direction to county staff and lobbyists regarding upcoming bills and legislation affecting Story County, including but not limited to the following and other properly related matters. AB 60 Safety Corridor, SB 81 Regional Orderly Growth, AB 143, the Land Transfer Bill, AB 47, the OHV Bill, SB 92, the Sidewalk Vendors, SB 304, the NFPA Mandates, SB 432, the Story County Post-Abatement Revenue Redistribution, and any legislative BDR bill, resolution, or other action of the legislature or government of the state of Nevada causing SB 1, or other post-tax abatement revenues from Tesla or other tax-abated or non-tax-abated companies to be canceled, diverted away from Story County, redistributed, postponed, or extended, or other and other properly related. I, for one, will be happy when legislative season is over because reading that is ridiculous. All right, County Manager Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne, for the record. We had a special meeting just a few days ago talking about these extensively. So if this board is okay with it, I would just focus on changes that have happened since that time and not necessarily
I would go over that. Figure.
All right.
If you're okay with that, Vice Chair.
Yeah. The biggest change that probably has happened is Senate Bill 432. We had discussed in depth at the last meeting a bill that would take 80% of the Tesla revenues from Story County and redistribute it through to other counties and to the state. That bill at this point appears to have been drawn. On the 14th, whether that bill dies or not, that is the deadline in the legislature for a board, a bill to actually go to a hearing. Doesn't get a hearing, it goes away. So, no champagne or anything like that at this point, but we're watching and monitoring that and hoping that'll be the case. The next bill, Senate Bill 81, still nothing has happened on that bill. It is getting prepared for a hearing. That is the bill that would put the county managers into the room and then also add cities and or wouldn't add cities are already in there, but add legislators to the room for the discussion. They would be non-voting members. We believe at the next meeting there will be an update on that. So at this point, we're watching and monitoring both of those.
That's it?
That's it.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, I know you're pretty much in the heat of things down there. I'm sure you don't have any questions for County Manager Osborne.
No, we're good. Thank you.
All right. I do not have any questions for you either. Obviously, SB 432 being drawn is fantastic news. I did just receive some email correspondence from some residents that have emailed Our senator basically telling Senator Krasner not to support this bill. I'm not going to mention anything to anybody. So much the better. But I appreciate the update. Is there any public comment regarding the two items that were brought up?
There's a hand up.
Yes, I can't see who that is.
The judge.
Oh, yes, Judge Harrington. Yes. You're on mute, Judge. Maybe she's just stretching.
Well, the judge is doing that. We also have the comments from Alexia Silver, just congratulating leadership on her job well done on 342.
432?
Or 432, correct.
Right. Okay. So for the meantime, I'm going to just pretend that Judge Harrington doesn't really need to say anything. Do you need any direction, County Manager?
At this point, there is direction given on this, so our recommendation would still be to continue to oppose Senate Bill and to continue to oppose Senate Bill 81. 81, I want to make a note that that bill could morph substantially, at which point we could ask for a public special meeting to rediscuss and possibly ask for amended motion on that. But at this point, we're asking to oppose. And I just want to remind folks that are listening, there's been a lot of work done in Carson City on both of these, and there's a lot of good people in the legislature as well as otherwise looking out for the county's best interest. And it's been much appreciated, and those folks know how much we appreciate it.
Indeed. Yeah. For those that don't know, Vice Chairman Mitchell has been down there with County Manager Osborne, our legislative team, lobbyists, what appears to be every day, 5 days a week. So I want to thank you for that personally. You know, obviously SB 432 is a pretty heavy one for Story County, and I'm glad that all of your efforts did not go wasted. So again, to clarify, you do not need further direction. No motion needed.
I would like a motion.
You would like a motion? Too,
please.
All right.
I don't think I need a motion on the remainders of them. We would just ask that it stays the same from the last meeting.
Fair enough.
But 432 and 81, yes, please.
New good, Vice Chairman?
Sure. Yeah, this is Commissioner Mitchell. I move to instruct staff to continue opposition to bills SB 81 and SB 432 as discussed in our previous meeting.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Do you want to take public comment on these things individually as they come through here?
I took public comment on, like, I can, if you want me to.
It's up to you.
I asked public comment. Nobody, except for the judge, saw his hand up and Alexia. Good. Guzal. All right. Thank you. So there's a motion in place. I will second that motion. In favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, County Manager.
Thank you.
Before we move on to item number 24, I do just want to make note that I was in communication with the head of the robotics team. I apparently dropped the ball, did not notify them that they were still on the agenda. They send their apologies. They did just want to ask that I mention that they are, bear with me, they are 12th in the world for their average robot score and third in the world for their autonomous robot score. They would like to come by and do their presentation after they go to the world's competition in Las Vegas or Texas, I believe. But they beat out a ton of teams in the state of Nevada, and it is definitely a major accomplishment. So these are the same folks that have been here the last couple of years, and they have definitely improved over the years. So my apologies. It was my bad. I look back at our text messages, and I never confirmed. So that's why they are not here. Anyway, moving on to item number 24 is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible action of grant of easement file number 2023-010 to NV Energy for utilities within a portion of Electric Avenue right-of-way at the intersection of USA Parkway, McCarran, Story County, Nevada. Kathy Cantier.
Yes, thank you. So NV Energy is proposing a project for a gas line that will be in Electric Avenue in Milan. And as we were going through this, we discovered that although they have an existing easement for the majority of Electric Avenue, there were two segments that were missing. So this item and item number 25 are the two segments that for the easement that they need to be able to install the utilities. So staff is recommending that we grant, and this item number 24, that we grant this easement.
Thank you, Kathy. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions about this easement?
No, I have no questions. Thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding this easement? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Motion?
Yeah. As Commissioner Mitchell, in accordance with the recommendation by staff, I move to approve a grant of easement 2023-010 to NV Energy for utilities located within a portion of the Electric Avenue right-of-way at the intersection of USA Parkway, McCarran, Story County, Nevada.
There's a motion. I will second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to item number 25, which is discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible action to grant easement, grant of easement file number 2023-011 to NV Energy for utilities within a portion of Electric Avenue right-of-way east of USA Parkway, McCarran, Story County, Nevada. Kathy?
Thank you. So this is the next piece of easement that's just east of the previous one that will connect into there where they have existing easements in Electric Avenue.
Okay. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything? Any public comment regarding item number 25 in this easement? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, can I entertain a motion?
Yeah, in accordance with the recommendation by staff, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve a grant of easement 2023-011 to NV Energy for utilities located within a portion of the Electric Avenue right-of-way east of USA Parkway, McCarran, Story County, Nevada.
All right, there's a motion. I'll second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Kathy. Moving right along to item number 26. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of resolution number 23-676 of the Board of Story County Commissioners extending the declaration of a state of emergency in Story County due to unforeseen severe weather events causing sudden flooding, avalanche, and mudslide due to snow runoff caused by atmospheric river flows across the county starting March 9th, 2023, and the end date extending from April 4th, 2023 to such time that the state of Nevada ends its declaration of emergency. The emergency declaration may provide the county access to state and federal funds and other resources which otherwise may not be available for its response to weather to the weather emergency. This action should not cause alarm, but it should remind residents to, and businesses to be vigilant and caused by storm events. Mike handling this?
Yes, he is.
Emergency Manager Mike Bullion.
Mike Bullion, Emergency Management. Commissioners, Story County is currently under a declaration of emergency and has been since March 9th due to unforeseen severe weather events that have caused flooding, avalanches, and mudslides due to snow runoff caused by an atmospheric river event. Declaration is set to expire today, April 4th. The state of Nevada's emergency declaration is still in effect and is waiting for a presidential declaration of emergency. This would require the state to accrue $5,400,000 in damages in order to get the presidential declaration. If Story County revokes our declaration of emergency, we would not be eligible to participate in any funds that would come from a presidential declaration. County manager and the Department of Emergency is asking to extend the declaration to such time that the state of Nevada ends its declaration of emergency. A presidential declaration may provide the county access to state and federal funds and other resources that otherwise may not be available for a response to the weather emergency. That is all.
Thank you, Mike. So, do you have any questions or comments about the state of emergency declaration?
I have just one question. I think the benefits are clear. Mike, is there ongoing cost or overhead burden challenges that go along with extending the state of emergency?
Yes, there are, and I'll refer that to Jennifer. She has a better idea of that. It has to do with our commitment to PERS, Nevada PERS. For anyone we call in, I believe it's just that they're called back.
Great, thank you.
Comptroller McCain.
Good morning again. So with PERS, currently overtime and callback is not PERSable. unless we are an emergency declaration. If we are an emergency declaration and an employee is called back within 12 hours, then all of their overtime is PERSable. So at the new rates, at the rates we're at are significant. If this happens in future years with the rate increases, it would be substantial.
Schaefer, is that related?
It has to be related to the emergency, yes.
Got it. So overtime or a callback related to the emergency specifically.
Yes.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Is there any public comment regarding this item? All right. Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, care to entertain a motion?
Yeah. Hi, Commissioner Mitchell. Move to approve resolution number 23-676. To the of the Board of Story County Commissioners extending the declaration of a state of emergency in Story County due to unforeseen severe weather events causing sudden flooding, avalanche, and mudslide due to snow runoff caused by atmospheric river flows across the county starting March 9th, 2023, and the end date extending from April 4th, 2020 to such time that the state of Nevada ends its declaration of emergency.
There's a motion. I'll second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate all your hard work.
Thank you.
All right. Before we jump into item number 27, I'd like to take a 10-minute recess. I'll see everybody back here about 11:35.